You like TV? I like TV.
I do like TV.
I watch TV, and today we're gonna destroy TV.
Okay.
That's right, kids. Destroy All Movies has a another little fun podcast. Destroy All TV.
Coming at Destroy All Television. Damn Junior podcast.
Could be classic TV, could be new TV. You never know. You never know what we're going to throw at you.
Mostly classic TV, especially bad classic TV, which is almost all of classic television.
Yeah, real. Yeah. For real.
Destroy All Television. Damn show.
Yes, kids, Destroy All Television. Get it at damshow.co, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Wishing on
12.
Hello, and welcome to the Lasso Personal Dilemma Squad.
This is Ellie.
And this is Jim.
And we are happy to be here.
Happy to be back.
That's right.
It's been over a month.
Oh, well, my goodness. Yeah, really?
It's been a while since the last show
we put out. Well, we have to do our taxes.
Yeah, that took a lot of preparation.
A lot of avoidance. Yeah.
We didn't go to that. Who are those tax?
H&R Block?
No, the ones that are like in Walmart and stuff.
I don't know.
Oh, they have. It's. I forget the firm name.
Oh.
But not Jacoby and Myers or something like that. Well, that's neither here nor there.
They don't need to know who we didn't go to.
That's right.
To do our taxes. I'm sorry I mentioned it.
Well, we're back. For episode For the Children.
That's right. So season one, episode 3 or 4?
Four.
All right.
Yeah, and we're moving through the first season slow. Can't wait for the new Lasso. We get little hints of it here and there on the internet.
That's right. And so when is the scuttlebutt about when it's going to drop?
I don't know. I don't know whether it's going to be during the summer or they haven't announced
or the fall.
A date. But it could be as late as October.
August or October. That's my. All right. Well, I will. We'll try to make this last.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't be like cramming a whole bunch of episodes in before season 3 starts.
At halftime, it opens up in the locker room.
Okay.
It's halftime and Roy says that they're down 2-0. Come on, we're better than that, he says.
Right.
And that's when Sam goes to Jamie and apologizes for not passing him the ball in the right spot.
Right.
And then Jamie, of course, insults him.
Right. He says he's a jerk.
And Roy gets PO'd at that. And
I'm sorry, I misspoke. He doesn't say he's a jerk.
Yeah.
What Jamie says is mean.
Yes.
Very mean.
Very mean. So him and Roy go at it, and Ted.
You aren't going to tell us who Maradona is?
Oh, no, I did. Oh, I never looked up Maradona. You're right. Oh, you caught me.
Oh, no. He's a big soccer player from Argentina?
Yeah, I guess so.
Children from the context.
That shows my bias because Ted comes in, Ted and Beard come in to break up the fight.
Uh-huh.
And Ted says, for the love of Pistol Pete, we still have a second half to play.
Right.
So I looked up Pistol Pete Maravich.
Oh.
He was known by his nickname Pistol Pete, of course, and was an American professional basketball player. Maravich was born in Aliquippa, Pennsylvania, part of the Pittsburgh metropolitan area, and raised in the Carolinas. Maravich starred in college at Louisiana State University Tigers basketball team
in Baton Rouge.
His father, Press Maravich, was the team's head coach. He then went on to prose. He was an Atlanta Hawk and other
teams. Right.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So.
So you looked that up.
Yes, right. I did. I didn't look up Maradona. I apologize.
I don't know, honey.
Are you looking up Maradona right this second?
Yes, I am. Diego Maradona was an Argentine professional football player and manager, widely regarded as one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. He was one of the two joint winners of the FIFA Player of the 20th Century Award. So he was born in 1960 and died in 2020, November 25th. Ah,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, rest in peace.
That's right.
Maradona.
Yeah, that's you know, I guess he was 60, huh?
Yep.
So anyway, that's Maradona. And then
but I will say, in this scene we see how soccer fights happen, or football fights happen, where they're like kind of butting heads against each other.
Right.
Because if you use your hands, like if you throw a punch at somebody, they, you get immediately ejected.
Right.
So
that's why they're like with the forehead to forehead kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So
next scene.
Oh, so you already talked about how.
What?
You said Pistol Pete.
Yeah.
And then I love.
The Fight Club line.
Yeah, that's right. The Fight Club line is also a good line.
Yeah.
And I also love how he was like, call me old one more time. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right, granddad. You know, and it's so funny how Ted's standing there like shaking his head like, don't do it. Yeah,
that's right. That little like, no,
don't do that.
Don't do it, Jamie.
And then he does it anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anyway. Okay, so then in the next scene.
So next scene, Rebecca's office, she and Higgins are planning the seating for the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the joke you didn't like.
That's right.
You've made known a couple of times after watching this episode.
Yeah, there's only a couple of jokes I find super obvious in Ted Lasso, and this is one of them. So the good part of this scene is they set up the joke later on about the boring table.
Right.
Which I love.
Yeah.
And the thing I don't like is I saw it coming a mile away.
Yeah.
When she said, oh, that horrible woman, blah, 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 blah. And he said, oh, no, she's not coming, whoever it is. And she said, oh. And he said she was kicked in the face by her horse. And she goes, oh, that's too bad. I hope the horse is okay. And it was right. Just like, you just knew that was like an easy joke. Like they don't usually go for the easy joke. Do you know what I mean? It's usually more involved, like the, you know, oh, well, table four is the boring table. Oh, I'm sitting at table four. Oh, you know, and it dawns on them, right? So, I don't, that's my like least, probably my least favorite joke in all of the first season of Ted Lasso.
Right.
About the horse, you know. Anyway, so they're there figuring out where people are going
to
sit.
Yeah, so then you go to the next scene because that bad joke was the...
And that was the end.
End of that scene.
Yeah.
Then we go out to the practice pitch where Ted, Beard, and Nate are talking about the divided team. And that's when he says...
I like my teams like I like my...
No, that's when he says two characters died.
Oh, right. At West Side Story.
At West Side Story at the dance, and Ned corrects him.
Nate
corrects him. Oh, my God. Do I have to do it every episode? Call him Ned?
Yeah. He's a little Ted.
And that's when Rebecca yells out the window.
No. But this is the comment.
What?
He said I was an understudy. Nate was an understudy for Anita at an all-girls, an all-boys school.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we just peeled another juicy layer of the Nathan Onion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that was cute.
What I liked in that scene is right after he says that, how Nate acts all like, how would I put it? He, it's like, thank you, you know, that kind of, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, he didn't, he
like, wasn't embarrassed or anything. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So she yells out the window and says, and wants to know, you know, Beard, you know, do you want beef, steak, or chicken?
Yeah,
he checked both boxes. And then that's when we find out, too, that, you know, Ted was just assuming that Beard would be his plus one.
Yeah.
And Beard, this is our first mention of Jane. I mean, Jane? Is that her name? Jane.
Yes, Jane.
They don't say her by name, but, you know, he's already got a date.
Yeah.
And so he said, I'm going to go, you know, with Nate the Great. He's going to be my date. And for obvious reasons, we'll sit at table late.
Yeah. Well.
Which they end up sitting at table late. Yeah. So
the thing is, you can tell how Beard acts with Rebecca. You know, like, he's afraid of Rebecca, too.
Right.
Because when she yells at him, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So now Nate's going to go with Ted to the benefit.
Right.
So that's cool. It's part of his team building and taking Nate under his wing. And then, of course, Rebecca, you know, Beard, you're having chicken.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like the, you know, always just directing. So then is the next scene when Ted comes up into her office?
Yeah.
Okay.
When she's
choosing a dress.
Yeah, she's choosing a dress and
she's wearing a nice fuzzy bathrobe.
And, yeah. And that's when Ted proceeds to talk about
he keeps on wanting to tell that
story about him going to the school dance in his pajamas,
the prom. And he's like, oh, but you don't want to hear that story, so yes. You know, I won't tell you that I spent the night in jail. You know,
but it is a doozy.
And so then he goes to make the request, though, to have the two,
Roy and Jamie,
sit at the table. And she kind of looks, you know, hey, can you have them be at my table? And she just glances at the board and says, yeah, sure, you know.
Right.
And then she's selecting the dress that she'll eventually wear.
Right.
And says, oh, I don't know, maybe it's too young. And then he says, well, fashion is, you know, all about confidence. So if you want to wear that dress, just wear the heck out of it and you'll be, you know, you'll be fine. So we don't know that she's going to choose that dress, but, you know, that's pretty much, that's all I remember of that scene.
And that's when Higgins comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And says that
Robbie Williams
canceled.
Right.
And Ted has that reaction where he goes,
Oh no,
who is that?
That's right.
Because
Robbie Williams.
I'll tell you who it is.
He's not as popular here as he is in England.
Robert Peter Williams, born February 1974.
Oh, spring chicken.
He's an English singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer. He found fame as a member of the pop group Take That. From 1990 to 95, they were like a boy band.
Uh-huh.
But has achieved greater commercial success for his solo career since 1996.
Uh-huh.
He has 7 UK number one singles, and all but one of his 12 studio albums have reached number one in the UK.
Wow.
And on and on. He's
very accomplished. I get it. But in the scene... So she starts to look stressed, and then she's like, no, because you're going to fix this. You know, and he's like, I'm a world-class problem solver. And then he, like, bubbles his phone.
And I got to talk about the phone bumbling.
Yeah.
He is so convincing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many times he did that.
Right. made it look like he was dropping it.
Yeah, because it wasn't like he was like throwing it and bouncing it into the air. It really looked like he was fumbling with it.
Right, right. Maybe that was impromptu.
Yes, it could have been. It could have been impromptu.
He is a good actor, so So yeah, and so he catches it, and and then is that when
that's when Ted says the line
when he leaves and Ted yells after him,
Rebecca appreciates all your hard work.
And she looks at him like
gives him that look like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like, who are you?
Who the heck
is don't talk for me, and it's so funny. But and he yells back, thanks, Ted.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Rebecca.
That killed me.
Oh my gosh.
So we're next at Jamie's house and he's trying on the suit.
Or is it Keely's house?
I assumed it was Jamie's
house. It is Jamie's house.
Yeah.
Because when she comes in the next episode, I think
that's right. Because it's the same kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jamie's trying on a suit that Keely must have told him to wear. And he doesn't like it because there's no graffiti on it and no hoods, no zips. And he takes the jacket off and then takes his shirt off and then puts the jacket just on his bare chest.
Yep.
And rolls up the sleeves a little and of course gets a word wrong like he often does. Instead of saying he's a prodigy, he says I'm a progeny.
That's right. Yep. And he gets this fashion stuff. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So I just have to say Timothy Chalamet went to the Oscars wearing a jacket with no shirt.
I know.
Obviously influenced by Jamie Tartt.
Obviously. And having a really smooth chest.
Yeah. Yeah. Being 12 years old. So Ted's flat is the next scene, and Ted's calling his... No, he just leaves his flat. It's not...
He's not upstairs. Yeah, he's leaving.
He's leaving
a message for Michelle.
Yeah, he's walking down the street where all the shops are. And he's calling... leaves a message for Michelle and says,
Tag, you're it.
Hey, I'm wearing that suit you told me to bring.
Right.
And he meets up with...
No. Before that, it's important.
What?
Because we don't really know why he took this job in England. Right. And then this is your first inkling that something may be wrong, and something that I didn't pick up on until after I'd seen the next episode or two. Was that he starts to say, I love you. And instead he stops himself and says, oh, I miss you. So.
Yes, but this wouldn't be the first inkling. First inkling happened in the first episode.
What was the first inkling?
When he calls her at the end of the first episode.
And?
And he says, what did I say wrong?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So the second inkling.
Okay.
But I'm saying it's something that I didn't pick up on the first time around, that he starts to say, I love you. And he stops himself and says, I miss you.
Yeah.
Because now we find out later that when he says he loves her, it puts pressure on her.
Right.
Because she doesn't feel like she loves him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway. Okay. Then he meets up with Nate the Great, who's wearing a terrible suit.
Yeah.
He's wearing his father's suit, and his father has built nothing like him.
Yeah.
Which we don't know until, later.
So Ted comes out and tells him, the suit doesn't fit you at all. And he says, come with me. And I mean, Ted must know some places already.
Yeah.
Because he gets him a perfectly tailored suit.
Right.
Oh, we don't see that yet.
Right.
Then we're on the red carpet. For the charity event.
Right.
and the player is mugged for the cameras and stuff like that, all except Sam, who asked all the paparazzi what their names are.
That's right.
And he's like, so happy to meet him.
Thanks for taking my picture.
Yeah, thanks for taking my picture. And you're Roy, and you're
right.
you're Harry, and you're
yep.
So that's when Keeley and Jamie.
Yep, they show up.
Show up,
and he's right eyebrow, left eyebrow, yeah, whatever.
That's Joey from Friends.
Oh, I missed that.
Confused look.
Oh, yeah. I missed that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so.
And then she's like, okay, here's for a picture you'll actually use. And she goes and she kisses him.
Yeah.
Keeley.
So then Rebecca comes in and shoos him away because she's
got to get inside.
Get in. And you can tell that she's like super nervous about this.
Mm-hmm.
And she is posing for pictures and she whispers to Keeley on the side that
she always hates
this part. And Keeley right. comes up and gives her advice on how to pose.
That's right.
For the pictures. And she seems to enjoy her picture taken after that.
Right. Yeah.
So, Rebecca always seems like, confident and in charge. And something as simple as that made her nervous.
Right. And she's done it.
Right.
Being a rich woman and married to Rupert, she had to have been in dozens of these things.
Yeah, exactly.
But it also shows her growing relationship with Keeley.
Keeley, yeah.
That she, admitted, was vulnerable with Keeley, and Keeley was able to help her out.
Right.
Yeah. And then Roy comes in and just like gives him all the finger.
Yeah, that comes up in a minute. Now we're going to do a lot of bouncing back and forth between little places within the benefit.
Oh, okay.
So you're at the benefit. Ted comes in and greets Rebecca. And you see Rebecca is taken aback when she sees Ted and how good he looked in the suit. She was like very surprised.
Yeah.
And they do the thing with Nate where Nate says, good to see you again. And she says, nice to meet you.
Right. Yep.
And I'm going, oh, man, that is like the worst.
Yeah.
Knowing the other person does not remember you at all.
Right.
So Ted also points out where first you see Jane. He points out Beard and Jane.
Right. Yep. And that makes the unintentional joke.
Yeah.
About they met at chess clubs. Oh, I guess they liked their moves. And Nate's like, whoa, good one. And he goes, I didn't mean, oh. that was a pun.
Yeah, he goes, I didn't, that wasn't a joke. Well, now that I think of it, yes, it was.
Yeah.
So it also shows Jane picking something out of Beard's beard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
She found like
something in there. Yeah.
And then it cuts back to the red carpet. That's when Roy comes in and gives him the up yours.
And some other players were arriving too.
Yeah.
Colin. And
then there's a kind of a whatchamacallit about the fingers, the up yours fingers that he gives. The folk tales of its origin abound. This is from Wikipedia.
Oh.
The most popular being that when the English bested the French in the Hundred Years' Wars with their fancy high-tech longbows, the V hand shape of the archers lining up their arrows became a battle gesture.
Oh. So we don't know if that's true. That's just the tale.
That's folklore.
That's
about
folklore.
The origin. Origin is the word I could not think of when I was.
Oh, okay.
So we're at the benefit. Jamie, Keeley, and Roy come to the table, and Ted says,
you know, sit down. I parent trapped y'all.
Yeah.
That's right.
And a parent trap is a 1961 American romantic comedy film written and directed by David Swift. It stars Haley Mills in a dual role.
Right.
Maureen O'Hara and Brian Keith.
That's right.
Based upon the 1949 book Lottie and Lisa. It's a German book.
Oh.
And it follows two teenage twins on a quest to reunite their divorced parents.
That's right.
There was a remake starring Lindsay Lohan in the Haley Mills role.
Right.
That happened in 1998.
Wow. Cool.
And then.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh.
I've never seen Parent Trap, either one.
I've seen the Haley Mills one.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Disney movies I've never seen.
Yeah. Well, that one was, you know, it was done in 61. So it was on TV, you know, went in the 70s. It would be at night or whatever. And yeah, lots of commercials.
That's when Nate gives the naked baby joke.
That's right. He muffs it up.
Yeah, but that is so funny. That was so funny.
That was funny, too.
What's funny is after Ted says...
Yeah, the term birthday suit would have helped a whole lot.
That right. You see Keeley react to that, right. And like she starts laughing.
Right. Yeah. So he's trying to get Roy and Jamie to talk.
Right.
You know, and they're still refusing, you know, to be cordial, basically. And he's like, okay, here's an idea who's going to help her or hurt a whole lot. Who needs a drink? And everyone at the table is raise their hands.
Yeah.
This is going to be so awkward, as Keeley says.
So we go to the lounge where Higgins is telling Rebecca he still hasn't found a replacement
for Robbie Williams.
For Robbie Williams. And then Ted comes in, notices that she's a little nervous about doing the player auction and says
the opening speech. Yeah.
That just opened with a little joke about herself.
Right.
And she just looks at him and says, what should I joke about myself? What should I joke about myself? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why when I was saying it, it didn't sound right.
Right.
And Ted, of course.
He thinks of a couple of things and then realizes he can't say those things to his boss.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you're not going to fall for it, are you? And he said no. And then he like goes away and he comes back like, oh, and then he's like, no. And he goes. So that's funny.
And when he's leaving, he passes Jane and Beard playing a board, playing chess without a board. And he goes, oh, are you two playing chess without a board? He obviously says it.
Right. And they were like, yeah.
Yes, because they're playing, they're saying each move sexily.
That's right.
You know, sexy talking.
That's right. It's flirting. Flirting on the board.
And Rebecca is up on stage. Announcing the players auction coming up.
Yeah, she's making her opening remarks. Yeah.
Right. And this is when we first get our first glimpse of Rupert.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes walking in. Everyone, of course, knows Rupert from, if you're older, the Taster's Choice commercials. And if you're slightly younger than that, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That's right. Giles.
Yes. So Rupert comes in and makes a show of it, of course.
Yeah, interrupts her.
Yeah.
You know.
So right off the bat, they're saying, yo, this guy is a jerk.
Yeah. And she's poking fun at him.
Right.
Which I love. Because he's like, what? You weren't expecting me? And she's only because you RSVP'd no.
Yeah.
So, like, she tells that, you know, she calls him out in front of everybody. You said you weren't coming, and yet here you are. And then I love it how she's like, then she gets to look magnanimous. And she goes, she goes, you know, oh, no, it's fine. Get him a seat at the boring table. Just kidding. Table four.
Yeah.
Which is like the best.
So we come back to the lounge and Nate is there acting smooth with the bartender.
Yeah, getting some eyes from the bartender.
And she puts down a martini in front of him and he says, like, thanks, doll, or something like that.
Yeah.
And
she turns around and he takes a sip of it.
A big sip of it. And then
just, like, spits it right back
out the glass. He goes, oh, God. And then this other dude grabs it.
And takes it. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's so funny. And then that's when he sees Colin.
Right.
And he said,
Colin and Isaac.
Yeah, can you not beat me up?
Yeah.
Can you just hit me twice tomorrow?
Yeah.
Because I don't want anything to happen to the suit. And then Colin's like, no, I mean, Roy headbutted me. I'm still crazy. And this is another obvious joke, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still dizzy half the time. My doctor told me not to drink or whatever. And then he's like drinking, you know? So.
But I like that because Isaac goes, We're not allowed to anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Roy laid down the law.
Yeah.
Yep. And so then is that when Nate goes and he goes to hug? He gets super close to Roy or is there?
I know.
There's an intervening scene.
No, there's the scene of Jamie spilling the soup on his bare chest.
Yeah, another reason why shirts exist.
Right.
Roy says. Yeah, because he's sitting there trying to look like cool, leaning way back, drinking, you know, having a tomato soup, and it just falls right on his nipple or whatever. And then he picks up an ice cube to, like, cool it down because it's, you know, hot soup. And that's when that woman, Cheryl or whatever, comes over.
Right.
You know. The Richmond's premier breeder of Shetland ponies or whatever, and says, I wish I were that ice cube. And so she's got a very lecherous role.
Yeah, and she said she's going to bid on Jamie. Him.
Yep. And Jamie gets all peevy, you know, because somebody says, you know, if she bids more than 3,000, you're going to have to sleep with her.
Yeah, Roy says that, and then Keeley says, oh, it's probably not that bad. All y'all have to do is this.
Yeah.
And so they start laughing, chuckling, and then
he gets upset and leaves and she has to chase after him. Yeah.
That's when Nate shows up to hug Roy.
But he does it. He stops short.
Yeah.
But gets close to him and says, thanks for talking to Colin and Isaac.
Right.
And he said, why are you so close to me? Well, I was going to hug you and decided that was a bad idea. You go, that's good.
Yeah.
But then he does Roy anyway.
Lets him hug him.
Yeah.
So you see Roy's really got, you know.
Yeah.
A harder, you know, with his gruff exterior. Mm-hmm. He's
got a
super
big heart.
Nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted has a heart-to-heart with Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And says, you know, when Roy insults Jamie calling him a prima donna, and Ted goes, like, what were you like when you first came into this league making all that money?
He said the same thing. Yeah, he was the same kind of guy.
And then he quotes, the youth is wasted on the young.
But he changes it.
Right.
Don't let the wisdom of age be wasted on you.
Right.
And then he said, I just made that up. I'm feeling pretty good about it. But that's because he was called away by Rebecca to go beat Rupert, right?
Right.
So he says that as he's walking away.
Yeah. So the youth is wasted on the young, according to quote investigator.
Ooh.
The earliest strong match located by quote investigator appeared in a syndicated newspaper column called Cook Coos by Ted Cook in February 1931. The expression was
expressly?
No. The expression was ascribed to George Bernard Shaw, and the central meaning was congruent to the modern instances. However, the phrasing was quite different. Boldface has been added to the... Oh, never mind.
I was like...
This is what he actually said. Youth, he replied, is the most beautiful thing in the world. What a pity it has to be wasted on children.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Same idea.
Yeah, same idea, different wording.
Right.
Then Rebecca introduces, like you said...
Introduces them to Rupert.
Ted and Rupert. And Rupert complains about the losses.
Yep.
And Ted says, hey, maybe we'll win. And then Rupert condescendingly goes, I believe him. I believe him. And then goes to
Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Do you believe him?
Yeah.
And then she doesn't say anything. She's like distracted by something.
Yeah.
And then that's when Ted says, hey, you know, if you don't agree with him, this night's going to take a turn for the worse or whatever. And oh no. And Ted's exactly what we've needed. She's, you know?
Yeah.
So
they go, Rebecca goes away and Ted comments about Robbie Williams canceling, and that's when Rupert tells him, oh, I know Robbie, I can
but even worse,
yeah,
before you get to that is Rupert trying to get the inside scoop on Rebecca. He says, oh, you know, Ted, it's been a tough year for her, you know, how's she holding up?
Exactly.
You know, and he's a slime, you know.
Oh, and I forgot, when she's walking away, he compliments her dress, and then with the backhanded compliment.
Right. Brave of you to get out there looking like that.
Yeah, trying to look youthful.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So that's when...
So you really get a taste of what an incredible
jerk.
A-hole that he is.
Yeah. So he says, oh, I think she's doing good. She, you know, organized this whole thing. And then that's when he says Robbie Williams canceled. And you find out that Rupert is friends with Robbie Williams. And he goes, hey, do you want me to text him and get him over here?
Yeah, he said.
And he said, oh, well, you know, let me check with Rebecca. Right. And then he goes outside, or is there
an intervening? Yeah, that's when he goes outside.
And she's outside. She's crying.
Right.
Because, you know, Rupert is just so... He's so mean. And that is the thing that you knew she was worried about.
Yeah.
Because she said to Ted, oh, maybe I shouldn't wear this. It's, you know, too, it's kind of young.
Yeah.
And that was he knew exactly how to hurt her, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But she instead says, you know, I used to think his blunt honesty was noble, but really it's just covering up his insecurities.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, you know, even through her hurt, she could still see that his comment didn't have as much to say about her as it did about him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good.
And Ted hugs her.
Mm-hmm.
And for a second, she's a little, shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But then she hugs him back and you know, lets herself be comforted by mm-hmm. him. And that is... like one of the first signs of their relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their friendship growing and their relationship softening.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she makes the comment, you know, he said, oh, you want me to, I forget what he said. Oh, he, well, so one of those bike rickshaw thing comes over and he's like, you want to get out of Dodge? And she's like, no, you know, she said, it's too important. She's not just going to run away because of Rupert being mean. So then he has a reason to go inside. I forget. But she said, oh, you go ahead. I'm going to clean up. I must look like Robert Smith after he's woken up from a nap.
Yeah.
Which I love. Did you look up Robert Smith?
James Smith is an English singer, songwriter, musician, and record producer. He's best known as the lead singer, guitarist, primary songwriter, and only continuous member
of The Cure, of
the rock band The Cure.
The Cure.
Which he co-founded in 1978. He had very wild hair.
He did.
Yeah.
But he also wore a lot of eyeliner.
Yeah.
So that's why she was saying, I must look like Robert Smith when he's woken up from a nap, because she's like been crying and her makeup's probably all over. So, yeah.
Then we're standing at the bar, and Roy and Jamie are standing. You see Jamie drinking at the bar, then Roy comes over.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he used to have a problem with a veteran player back when he joined the league. And, you know, Jamie says had to get by it. And he said the same, but doing the same thing Yankee Doodle was peddling.
Yep.
You tell me why I'm a jerk and I'll tell you why you're a jerk.
Right.
And they seem to come to an understanding.
Right.
You know, Roy admits that
he doesn't want to pass to him when he does, he's so arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's so arrogant, he can't stand him.
Right. And
then this is when Jamie says, I used to have a poster on my wall when I was a kid. So that's like, I don't know. It's so painful in a way to say, hey, I used to idolize you, but you aren't the player you were.
Yeah.
You know, like you're old, you know, he basically calls him old again.
Yep.
You're not the player you were. And just because you have like a championship or whatever, you expect everybody, you know, around here to kiss your ring. And so he says, yeah, you're right. I can't be like that. And then like Jamie doesn't admit to being an arrogant jerk. And then he said, now this is the part where you admit to what I said about you. And he goes, well, and then maybe just a little, right?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And that's like the best you're going to get. And then I love that he says, how about you and this Doug Stampipe or whatever fellow, you guys ever get along? He goes, no, I hope you're dead. And they cheers. He goes, cheers to you dying.
Yeah.
You know, he still hates him.
Yep.
He's still going to hate him. But there is more of a background of relatedness between the two of them now that, you know, that they can... It can have a less argumentative or, you know, conflict, less conflict. I forget. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, they can have less adversarial
there
relationship.
You go.
That's what I was trying to say. Maybe you can cut all that out.
Leaving that in.
You can't clean that up in post. No.
Then we go to the ladies' room where Rebecca is freshening up and Keely's in there. Keely comes in and she admits to Rebecca
that she's like in a rut in a way that, you know, when I was 18, I was dating a 23-year-old footballer. And now I'm almost 30 and I'm still dating a 23-year-old footballer. And I love it. She goes, oh, I'm Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And then that's when Rebecca says, well, what about accountability?
Well, before that, Keely says about Rupert.
Oh.
You know, he cheated on you and...
Yeah, the press is always attacking you.
The press is always attacking you and he gets off and how she was upset about that.
Yeah. Well, it's a double standard that all women should be upset about.
Right. But saying that to her, you know, I think really.
Right. And she just says, well, the press, they always love Rupert, you know, because he knows how to handle them.
Yep. And that's why Keely was talking about why she likes footballers, because they're young, fit and rich and blah, blah, blah. And that's when Rebecca says, well, what about accountable?
Right.
Because she told her that the one bidding on Jane, the other woman bidding.
So then we missed the bidding.
Yeah.
Oh, we messed up.
It's just out of order.
Yeah.
We'll recover.
What happened to your notes, dude?
We'll recover. I just mixed up the scenes. That's all. So.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Now you got to go back to the bidding.
Why?
Because this doesn't make sense.
People have seen this episode. They understand.
All right. So she says, just so you know, the other woman bidding on Jamie during the auction that hasn't happened yet in these notes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Other plus one.
Right.
And so Keely is like, she's acts cool about it, but you can tell.
Yeah, you can tell it hurt her a lot. Because then
she goes over and she asks Rebecca for a drink of her
martini.
And that's when she said, how about accountable or whatever? And says, you know, I was married to a man for 12 years or whatever who made mistakes and never took responsibility for any of them.
Right.
And then she just looks at Keeley basically and pushes the martini glass her way and leaves.
And this is when we get our first hint that Keeley does not like pimentos inside her olives.
That's right. They look like a part of the female anatomy.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we have the auction where Jamie
is the first one up. Oh, because also when they were having that conversation, Rebecca says to Rupert, why don't you do the auction? You know?
Oh, yeah, that's right. And why don't you do the auction? And she says
we'll make much more money, you know?
Yeah, and she said, besides, it's for the children. And he gives that whole
simpering look. Oh, it's for the children. Yeah. Yep.
And, you know, so
Rupert calls up Jamie.
Right.
And they start the bidding. And the woman who breeds the Shetland ponies yells, I want him, Rupert.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
And so it looks like she's going to win. And he's like, Keeley, he had said, you got to bid on me. And she's like, no, I'll look pathetic, but you know, he's looking at her like, you got to help me here. And so she starts bidding on him. And then that's when Bex, we know later, her name is Rebecca over on the table four or whatever. Cause I think she's on table four. Starts bidding. And Achilles like, who's this woman bidding on my boyfriend, and starts a bidding war.
Yeah, and which Keeley eventually wins for £25,000.
And then Rupert says, oh, yo, because why spend an evening with your boyfriend for free when you can have him for £25,000?
Yeah.
But she says, she mouths to Jamie, you owe me.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What? I was just thinking about how I wondered if she was going to make him pay her for the 25 grand.
Yeah, too. I know.
Like, is it just owe me because I got you out of this pickle, or you owe me, like, you better give me this money?
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's a lot of money, you know? But I mean, I know she's got it. I know she's got it, but just saying. That's like the equivalent of, like, what, 50? I always just double it. So it's probably not exactly 50 grand, but that's a lot.
So that's when we have the ladies' room scene. Mm-hmm. And now we're back at the auction where Roy is up there. And first Keeley goes to the table and sees Jamie talking to Bex.
Right.
And she asks if she can talk to Jamie.
Right.
And says, oh, so that's your new girlfriend. And then he just says,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it's all part of the branding plan, having two women bid on me.
Right.
So she starts bidding on Roy.
Because she's like, oh, you think jealousy is cool, huh?
Yeah.
And so then she tries to make him jealous by bidding on Roy.
Yep. Because he said he never gets jealous.
Right. And then the woman, you know, the Shetland pony breeder is also bidding on Roy.
Right.
And so you see that Roy is happy that Keeley is bidding on him because he doesn't want to, you know, go with this older woman.
Right.
And then she gets mad and throws down the paddle.
Yeah.
And he ends up being, you know, auctioned off to Cheryl.
Right.
But that was also the funny part of that was the intro when Rupert's just trying to, you know, hey, he wants to spend the day by a pool in the sun and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no pools, no hotels, and we aren't leaving SW14.
Yeah. So that's when you cut to Rebecca and Higgins. And that's when, oh, no, not Rebecca and Higgins. Ted and Higgins, where Higgins goes to Ted. Do you think Rebecca knows what the real Adele looks like? Ted says, never mind that, come with me. Oh, I'm sorry. Right before that, he's talking to Rupert.
Right.
And Rupert, he says, you know.
Rupert says, did you check with Rebecca? Do you want me to get.
Because I can get him over here like that.
But not only that, tell again, Rupert goes, howdy, partner. Right? Like picking on his accent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, and that's when Ted says, hey, it occurred to me, if you're such good friends with Robbie Williams, you could have asked him to cancel.
Right.
And then, because he said, oh, I'll be able to get him over here.
Yeah.
And then Rupert says, well, if I did that, I'd be a real turd, basically. And that was, very telling. And that was it, right?
Yep. And almost like Rupert admitting
that would be a real dick move.
And you pretty much I did do that.
Yeah. So then it's Higgins, right? Like he goes up to Higgins and says, how are things going?
Yeah. And that's when Higgins does the Adele line.
Yeah.
And he says, never mind that. Come with me.
Right. He said, I got a mission or whatever.
Yeah. He goes like, forget the rest.
That's right. I want the best. Yeah.
So they come back and
there's nothing in between that. There's not Beard and,
Jane because they're doing that. Anything? No, they're because the next Beard and Jane interlude is during the music.
Yeah. When she wants to dance.
Because I mixed up that scene. I'm all mixed up here. So,
Anyway, we'll just go with this.
Yeah. He comes back in with Higgins and with Cam Cole.
That's right.
The
busker.
The busker that he always gives a tip to.
Right.
And compliments every time he passes him.
Right.
And Rebecca's all like, oh my God.
Yeah, because he looks like such a street kid.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And she announces him, forgets his last name, Cam something, all the way from outside.
That's right.
And of course, at first he looks like he's screwing up a little.
Well, he even says like bollocks.
Yeah. that's right. That line, he goes bollocks, and Ted goes, what does that mean?
Yep.
And of course, everyone knows bollocks means testicles.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So then he starts playing, and the players and their girlfriends are like getting up and dancing.
Because he's a good musician, and he starts really rocking out. And
that's right.
Everyone gets up to dance.
That's right.
And that's when you see Higgins like joins. Higgins joins in.
That's right. He can't resist it.
And then you cut outside.
To the lounge,
and that's where Ted and Beard are out there.
Ted and Beard, or just Beard and Jane?
Beard and Jane are out there, and they're still playing the game. And she says, "Well, let's forget about the game and go in and have a dance, like in the ballroom." And that's what he like scrambles and comes up with a finishing move, and then says, "Checkmate," and she gets all pissed off at him.
Yeah. And she just leaves.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of silly because then the game is over. But I mean, that shows a little bit her like capricious nature and she's a little controlling.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So it was like, because he didn't drop everything and dance right then, she's mad at him instead of just saying like, oh, okay, good. Yeah. That finishes the game and let's go.
Yeah.
Right. Which is what I would have done.
So outside, Rupert says goodbye to Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before that,
he also gave that big check along the lines.
Yeah, they gave £1 million.
Yeah.
But before that, Jamie.
For the children.
Yeah. Jamie and Keeley are talking, and he comes up and apologizes to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know what you're apologizing for? And he goes, you always say that.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know, so this has happened multiple times.
Right.
But this time she doesn't let him off the hook.
Well, and then that's when Roy comes over and says, you made me feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
And she apologizes. And right. Jamie says.
And she looks very.
Contrite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And says, you're right. I shouldn't have done that.
Right. I'm sorry. And Roy says, thanks. You know. And then Jamie goes, why are you apologizing to him?
Yeah. But you also see Roy's reaction. He's shocked that she apologized.
Right.
Instead of arguing.
He wasn't expecting that. Because he doesn't know her that well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then she says to Jamie, being accountable matters.
Right.
And he was like flummoxed by that. And she's just like, that's it. We're done. You know? Yep. So it's over. But she said, that's it. We're done.
Then she grabs two bottles of champagne.
Yep.
And you see Rupert say goodbye to Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes off with Bex.
Yep.
And Ted tells Rebecca, you may think you're the only one who sees him the way he really is. And he goes, but you're not.
Right.
And again, Rebecca is a little
touched by
what he said.
And that, Beard comes out, stumbles out.
Beard comes out, and Ted has to take him home.
Yeah.
And then Keeley comes out and asks Rebecca if she wants to go get drunk.
Right. But the other thing is that she says, Ted says to as they're walking away, he goes, oh, you put the game before the dame.
Yeah.
You know, to Beard. And he goes, yup. Like,
yeah. I did it again. He said, I did it again. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an interesting insight into his past too.
Right.
You know? And so, yeah, Killick comes out. Oh, you want to get like really drunk? Yes, I do.
But what's funny is like right after they say that, a rickshaw goes screaming by and Rebecca and Keely are both in the back.
That's right.
With the bottles of champagne.
That's right. Oh, that's right. So she says that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, as Beard and Lasso are walking home.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They go by. Yep. It's one of the best episodes.
Yep.
One of my favorites. It's just so good. There's just so many little things. Oh, for the children, you know. And oh, here's £1 million for Rebecca to make her goal. You know, and she goes, oh, thank you for your donation. Oh, for the children, you know.
And you just get so much character development in mm-hmm. this episode.
Yeah.
You know, you see relationships beginning to form.
Mm-hmm.
You get insight into past relationships and, you know, everything. It was just put together so well.
Yeah, it's really brilliant. Yep. So is that it?
That's it.
Any other fun facts about it?
Nope. That was all I had.
For the children, Tim.
For the children.
So yeah, I don't know. Another awesome episode. I got nothing to say, I guess. Well, I've had a lot to say.
Yes.
And I think I've covered almost everything I wanted to cover.
All right.
And where can people find our back shows?
Damshow.co, DAMSHOW.CO. That's where you can find all our back episodes of this podcast.
Destroy All Movies, some of the back episodes.
Destroy All Movies, Destroy All Television,
mm-hmm.
and Hallmark's The Spot, all found at damshow.co.
That's right.
You can buy us a coffee if you want to support the show. Go to the...
Yeah, did I mention we just paid our taxes?
Yeah. And we did pay. So if you want us to offset some of our tax bill and the cost of producing this show, please buy us a coffee.
Or 10.
Or 10 coffees, or
just kidding,
as many coffees as you think you can afford.
That's right. That's right. Other people may have paid taxes, yeah, too.
Or use the Amazon link. You don't need to part with any money if you That's use right. the Amazon link.
Amazon just rewards us.
Yeah, just click the link, go to Amazon, and then buy what you need to buy as you were originally intending, and then we get a little piece of the sale. You don't spend one penny extra.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get your fuzzy whale keychain, and we get a little piece of the action.
Or maybe a television. See, the more you spend, the bigger my commission.
That's right. That's right. They're just happy that we're promoting Amazon.
Yeah, that's right.
Because people don't really know about it. And they don't know how to get there. So they say, dampshow.co, I better, while I see that Amazon link, I better go there now.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it's all for the impulse buying.
Or just...
Bookmark dampshow.co.
Dampshow.co and rename it Amazon.
That's right.
In your bookmarks. And then, you know, I'm going to Amazon. I go through dampshow.co first.
That's right.
So that's about it. That's the end.
Oh, people could send us emails.
Oh, yes. How do they do that?
If they send an email to dilemmasquad1@gmail.com.
That's dilemmasquad, the number one.
@gmail.com. So, yeah. It's been fun. I love Ted Lasso still. I love this episode. We watched it a couple times. We went to record this, and so we watched it, and then something happened. We didn't record it. And so a couple weeks later, we watched this again.
Finally.
I know. We watched it again, and then a couple weeks later, here we are.
Recording it. So
now we're recording it. But
yeah, so next time we got to, you know, record right after rewatching it, so everything's fresh in the old cabeza.
That's right. And then the notes. Maybe I need to check your notes.
Yeah, maybe you should check my notes to make sure the scenes are in the correct order.
Well, and that you've looked up Maradona and stuff, you know.
Oh, I missed one little thing.
I know, I'm just teasing. Because I didn't really know Maradona. I only know, like, Pele from South America.
Right, right.
You know? That's because I read a biography of Pele in fifth grade.
Yes. Plus, he was pretty famous.
Well, and Pele. He came to the States and started like a youth soccer league or something, right? Or the actual soccer league.
No, he played in
New Jersey or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, he played for the Cosmos, New Jersey Cosmos.
Yeah.
At Giant Stadium.
Yep. And we, you know, it's an elegant sport. I think we even saw some European football recently.
Yeah, they call Chelsea in the first episode, what did Scott Van Pelt call it?
The elegant elegant game or the...
Oh, yes,
The most elegant game?
Most beautiful game.
Yeah, the most beautiful game.
Oh, that's it. For a second, I'm thinking The Sweet Science, but that's boxing.
So what's the next episode?
I know this. I'm not even looking it up. It is Tan Lines.
Tan Lines. Ooh.
Yes.
All right. Looking forward to that.
Excellent episode, Tan Lines.
It is. It is. So, oh,
man.
Looking forward to it already.
Yes.
We'll try to record sooner than a month.
Okay. A month. Oh, at least a month.
That's right.
Went by.
At least.
So.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And we will be back at you with Tan Lines in a few weeks.
Same lasso time.
Same lasso channel. Dampshow.co. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
You like TV? I like TV.
I do like TV.
I watch TV. And today we're going to destroy TV.
Okay.
That's right, kids. Destroy All Movies has another little fun podcast. Destroy All TV.
Coming at
Destroy
you from All Television. Damn Junior Podcast.
Could be classic TV. Could be new TV. You never know. You never know what they're going to throw at you.
Mostly classic TV, especially bad classic TV, which is almost all of classic television.
Yeah, for real.
Destroy all television. Damn show.
Yes, kids, destroy all television. Get it at damshow.co, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.